As China watches demonstrations in Libya, Beijing has a plan: protest prevention.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. The French president, Nicolas Sarkozy, has called for sanctions on Libya. That's after the Libyan government's violent crackdown against demonstrators there. Over the past month, the unrest has spread across the Middle East and North Africa. But could the spark of government protests ignite against other authoritarian regimes? Reports are the Chinese government has detained activists and is clamping down on internet information about protests elsewhere. Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz is with us from Shanghai with the latest. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Steve.
So what are the chances this revolution could reach China?
Well, I think most people in the know would say slim to none. Some of the conditions that underlay what's happened in Tunisia and Egypt and Libya and elsewhere do exist in China. Income inequality, education inequality, abuse of government power. But there's something that China has that these other countries don't have, and that's a thriving economy. I spoke with William McCahill at Pacific Epoch Group.
There are hundreds of millions of stakeholders. And there are very, very few people who are willing to jeopardize what they've taken from that new economy.
And it should be noted that the global ramifications of an upheaval in China would be much more severe than a slight rise in oil prices, which is what everyone's concerned about from the protests in Libya.
So if nobody in China, Rob, is going to revolt, then why is the government there rounding up people? And also we have reports that they're censoring the internet.
Yeah, ever since the Tiananmen Square protests of 1989, China's central government has taken any potential threat, no matter how small, very seriously. This past weekend, a couple hundred people showed up in central Beijing after a rumor spread online that there'd be protests in a dozen Chinese cities. Instead of a protest, there were just a bunch of gawkers taking pictures of each other with their cell phones and not really doing anything. And that's about as serious a protest as China's government would like to see.
All right. Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz in Shanghai. Rob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
A judge has cleared British bank Barclays for its purchase of bankrupt pieces of Lehman Brothers. Now, Barclays bought those pieces after Lehman failed and helped trigger the financial crisis. Lawyers claimed Barclays had hurried the deal through to rip off billions of dollars in profit. From London, here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
Barclays has won a major victory. Far from ripping off Lehman's, a New York judge has ruled, Barclays helped save the day. The case goes back to the height of the credit crisis. Lehman's filed for bankruptcy. Its staff and clients began to jump ship. But within days, Barclays had snapped up much of Lehman's U.S. operations for a song. By doing so, said the U.S. judge, Barclays helped avert an even greater calamity and save thousands of jobs. His ruling is a relief and a vindication for Barclays. But Chris Hughes of the financial website Breaking Views says that in the longer term, the Lehman takeover may not look like such a great deal for Barclays.
Whether the enlarged company with this massive presence in these pretty volatile businesses is really something that suits investors' tastes in the post-crisis world, I think that the jury's still out on that.
A spokesman for Barclays welcomed the U.S. court ruling. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are lower right now. Shipping company Maersk says it made a little money after posting losses last year. Markets tanked on Wall Street yesterday, though. The Dow gave back 178 points, a percent and a half, to close at 12,212.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the knowledge effect. By Progressive Insurance, with more than 30,000 local independent agents. Information available at progressive.com. And by reputation.com, protecting online privacy by monitoring and removing your personal data from websites that sell it. Reputation Defender is now reputation.com.
States are wrangling with some huge budget holes. Really, the only two ways to deal with the mess are spending cuts and tax hikes. Well, in Texas, there's another option. Tap into a $9 billion rainy day fund. As Ben Philpott reports from Station KUT in Austin, some lawmakers don't want to touch that money.
Just about everyone admits it's raining in Texas. Falling tax revenue and stagnant home prices have left a hole of as much as $27 billion in the state's budget. But is it a downpour? Or just a little drizzle? The state's Republican governor, Rick Perry, says there's no need for an umbrella. He's pushing for budget cuts instead of opening the piggy bank.
Emptying the savings account to pay for recurring expenses is a bad idea, whether it happens at home, the workforce, or with our state budget. Therefore, we must protect the rainy day fund.
But Democratic State Representative Garnett Coleman sees hurricane warnings.
Well, first of all, I think we ought to spend all of it.
He points to proposed cuts in public education that could mean laying off tens of thousands of teachers. And don't get him started on health care cuts. He knows the tax increases being passed in other states to make ends meet aren't going to fly in Texas.
The reason other people are raising taxes is because they don't have $9 billion sitting in an account that can be used readily.
But this isn't a debate just confined to politicians. Bill Hammond heads up the Texas Association of Business. It's considered the most powerful business lobby in the state. He says tax increases are job killers. But at the same time, the proposed cuts in K-12 and higher education don't promote the skilled workforce Texas businesses need.
We think if we're going to hold the school districts and the administration accountable for their performance on the new end-of-course exams and on accountability in general, we need to provide them with the materials as well to do their job.
On the bright side for Texas, at least the state can afford to have this debate. A recent report by the National Association of State Budget Officers shows 15 states started the year with no money in their rainy day funds. In Austin, I'm Ben Philpott for Marketplace.
And finally, I saw this on the Consumerist website. At a cafe near the Seattle-Tacoma airport, when TSA security agents come in for a bite to eat, they get kicked out of the place. An employee says the owner of the restaurant is a frequent flyer, and he objects to the TSA's new tougher security measures, pat-downs, full-body scans, and the like. So he's put the TSA on his no-eat list. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. On Twitter at Radio Chio, this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The next time you feel like you're being ripped off, just remember this guy.
When I go park my car in the street and I'm not allowed to park, I pay a bribe. When I go issue my son's birth certificate, I need to pay a bribe. It's me as an average citizen.
I'm Kai Rizdal, trying to change the old Egyptian ways, next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.